Well, greetings this evening in the name of Jesus. It's a blessing to be here to sing with you all and to consider the words our brother John shared with us. The blessing that we have to be a part of the bride of Christ and the Word of God, ultimately the Word of God. I have been considering, praying about what to share this evening, and the word shepherd kept coming to my mind. And I was thinking about the good shepherd and what he's been to me. What Jesus Christ, the good shepherd, has been to me. And I thought I would just read a few verses in John chapter 10. It starts, it says, "Verily, verily." There's every word that Jesus spoke, it means something. Every word has, there's much gravity. There's much significance in every word that he spoke. The Bible says that the world itself couldn't contain all the books that could be written about him. I was at an Abe Lincoln Museum here recently, and they have in that museum a little metal replica of every book that's ever been written about him. And there was like 15 or 16 or 17,000 books, and they're all stacked up in various shapes, and some are laying down, some are standing up. And there's this pole in this three-story part of the building, and they're stacked up around this pole. 17,000, 15,000, or however many books. And that's become a national monument of sorts, you know. And I looked at that, and I thought, the whole world couldn't contain all the books that could be written about Jesus Christ. And when he says, "Verily, verily," it means we should take note. We should take heed. "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. But he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. I'll just read a few more verses here. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calleth his own sheep by name, and leadeth them out. And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. And the stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers. This parable spake Jesus unto them, but they understood not what things they were which he spake unto them. Then said Jesus unto them again, Verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out, and find pasture. The thief cometh not but for to steal, and to kill, and to destroy. I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep." I think I'll stop reading there. You all are familiar with that chapter. He goes on to say that no man can take his life from him, but he lay it down. And he goes on to say that he gives his sheep eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father, which gave them me, is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. And as we consider here this evening these passages, my mind was drawn to this sheepfold that he's talking about is the church of Jesus Christ. It's the body of Christ. It's God's people. It's the called out ones. It's the redeemed. And whoever you are tonight, if you are a church member, or if you are considering, if you're lost and you're considering giving your heart to Jesus, or if you're a newly ordained pastor, if you want access to these sheep, Jesus says you need to come through me. He said that there are all that ever came before him are thieves and robbers. The difference between a thief and a robber is a thief works in secretive, sly, sneaky ways, and he works in the dark. And a robber crashes down the door and he just brazenly in broad daylight does a robbery. And Jesus said that if you access these sheep of mine, they are his sheep, by the way. Let us note that these are his sheep. They're his sheep. There's a story about, I think it was D.L. Moody. It was in Chicago, and there's a drunkard walked up to him and said, "I'm one of your sheep." And he said, "You probably are. Because if you were the Lord's, you wouldn't be a drunkard." They're his sheep. And a pastor, an elder, does well to remember that they're his. It's the sheep of his pasture. And the thief that comes and has access to them through another way other than Jesus Christ is a thief and a robber. He may do it in secret, but all things that are done in secret will be exposed. There may be things under cover, secret agendas and motives and wrong things in the hearts and lives of men that profess Christ or seek to fulfill the calling or the role of a pastor and elder, but those wrong motives will be brought to light and he will become as a robber. He's a thief and a robber. And we see here that to access these sheep, to be a part, incorporated into the communion of the saints, or to fulfill the calling as an elder, we need to go through the door. And Jesus said, "I am the door." We need to do it his way. We need to do it by his Spirit, his calling. And that they often call those men shepherds. Jesus is the good shepherd, but I would say a shepherd with a small H, a small S, maybe, also known as an under shepherd in the shepherd world. But a shepherd to come to the flock and to lead them as Jesus Christ leads his people needs to be through him. There's a door, and that door is Jesus. And in the same way that a father is called to represent and be a representative of God to his children, God calls men to be representative of the good shepherd in the church. In the same way a wife is called to be the bride of her husband, which mirrors in the symbolic of the bride of Christ, so is a shepherd. He represents the good shepherd, as well as a husband, as he loves his wife as Christ loved the church. So the pastor, the elder, would remember that he is a representative of the good shepherd. And we do well to learn what the Good Shepherd is all about, who he is, how he works. And we read in Luke 19:10 that the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. The elder that would seek and save that which is lost would consider, study Jesus' methods, study Jesus' life. Evangelism is a gift. Evangelism, the gift of an evangelist is truly that. Thank you. And I think I see in a lot of the mainstream churches in our land, there's a great lifting up of all the missions that they support and all of the evangelism that they do, and it's all under the, it seems like it's a cloak that they hide behind, maybe, as they fail to disciple their people. There is a gift of an evangelist. But Brother Barry, you're called more to discipleship today than maybe you have been in the past. I was thinking on the way down, discipleship versus evangelism. I don't want to lift one up over the other. Evangelism is a great need wherever we go. We are an evangelist. We are witnesses of Jesus Christ. But I've seen a lot of evangelists that are light on doctrine and light on discipleship. And I thought of a business who's bad at customer service, and they trip over good customers, and they're masters at promoting themselves in all manner of media, and they just get new customers, but their reviews are just terrible, and they live on new customers because they don't take care of their old ones. I think a lot of churches do that, and their doors are a revolving door. Discipleship is hard work. It's harder than a Saturday afternoon in town passing out tracts. Jesus came to seek. Your seeking might take a little different approach today in the coming days than it has in the past. Ezekiel, I was reading in Ezekiel 34 about God's displeasure over those false pastors. It says the disease they have not strengthened. They didn't heal that which was sick, and they didn't bind up that which was broken. Neither have they brought again that which was driven away, neither have ye sought that which was lost. But with force and cruelty have ye ruled them. That was the pastors of Israel. In Ezekiel 34:4. Number verse 10 says, Thus saith the Lord God, Behold, I am against the shepherds, and I will require my flock at their hand, and cause them to cease from feeding the flock. Neither shall the shepherds feed themselves any more, for I will deliver my flock from their mouth, that they may not be meat for them. For thus saith the Lord God, Behold, I, even I, will both search my sheep and seek them out, as a shepherd seeketh out his flock in the day that he is among his sheep that are scattered, so will I seek out my sheep, and will deliver them out of all places where they have been scattered in the cloudy and darks in the dark day. And I will bring them out from the people, and gather them from the countries, and will bring them to their own land, and feed them upon the mountains of Israel by the rivers, and in all the inhabited places of the country. I will feed them in a good pasture, and upon the high mountains of Israel. And another verse 16 says, I will seek that which was lost, and bring again that which was driven away, and bind up that which was broken, and will strengthen that which was sick. But I will destroy the fat and the strong. I will feed them with judgment. Oh, for a heart of the lowly Jesus dealing with men. To be able to discern through all the sights and the sounds and the rebellion, and to handle them as Christ would handle them. Some men need to be told hard things. Some need healing. They all need healing. But when I consider Jesus' life, there was something about him that those rough young men that followed him, you never read where he said, he just told him one time, follow me. And that's all you read about that. They followed him willingly. He was a joy to be with. And I believe he challenged them every day. But there was something drawing about him that they could not, that they were willing to forsake everything to be with him. And it cost them everything, but they did it willingly. And by God's Spirit, it's a high calling. He came to seek and to save. The other thing he did is to save them. He laid down his life for the sheep. And he pointed them to his Father. He did say, you can't come to the Father but by me. But he said something. He said something that I don't know if I understand. In John 16:27, he said that. John 16:23, it says, "In that day you shall ask me nothing. Verily, verily, I say unto you, whatsoever you shall ask the Father in my name, he will give it to you. Hitherto have ye asked nothing in my name. Ask, and you shall receive, and your joy, that your joy may be full. These things have I spoken unto you in Proverbs. But the time cometh when I shall no more speak unto you in Proverbs, but I shall show you plainly of the Father. At that day you shall ask in my name, and I say not unto you that I will pray the Father for you, for the Father himself loveth you." I don't know if I can explain all those verses exactly. But I think what he's telling us here is God the Father. John says our fellowship is with God the Father and with his Son Jesus Christ. We don't pray necessarily to Jesus. We come to God by Jesus. And that's what Jesus was about. He was about bringing us. He was a sacrificial lamb to bring us to God. That was the goal. That was the message. That was the mission. And if we would consider that more. That, and I know we all do. We have a desire that men have a relationship with God. And when we do that, when men come, we can try to shepherd a young man and push him, but when he turns, and when Jesus becomes his shepherd, it's just a joy. When the Holy Spirit starts speaking to him, it's a fulfillment of the prophecy of Isaiah that said that in that day when you will have no need of any man teaching you. It's God will do that. He wants to do that. If we can lead them, if we can point them there, and not stand in the way of that. Sometimes we can do that by attitudes and words. And we can give them a bad taste of the shepherd. Lord, help us. We can't wash away their sins, but the principle remains that we point them to the one who is able to wash away their sins. And as we seek to do that, it will cost. We need to lay down our lives like Jesus did. We need to lay down our lives and our reputations. We need to lay down our whatever else is precious. But we have the promise. We have the promise that no weapon that is formed against us will prosper. I was reading the other day in Isaiah, he said, no weapon, we quote that verse, no weapon that is formed against you will prosper. But the two verses before that say that God reminds us that he made the smith, the iron worker, that blows the coals, that makes the weapon. And then he said, I made the waster that carries the weapon that will threaten you. So he's saying, remember, I made the waster that carries the weapon, and I made the weapon, and I made the man that made the weapon. Remember that. It's kind of like some of you builders. Sometimes you tear down a house, and you have to demo a house, and you get a demolition crew around, and you get dumpsters, and you get it all planned out, and we're going to meet there at 6 a.m. You're going to tear down the house, and you're in control of that job site. You're not going to let them tear down your house or the neighbor's house. They're going to tear down the house that you told them to tear down. And that's God. He created the waster and the weapon and the man that made the weapon. We can lay down our... It's safe for us to lay down our lives for Him, for the truth. It's safe for us to do that. We can give our lives for the sheep. A warrior that is fearless and regards the life of the sheep more than himself. And he loves them. Isaiah 42. I heard Dale Heise describe this as the minister's manual. Chapter 42 of Isaiah, behold my servant whom I uphold, mine elect, in whom my soul delighteth. I think this is talking about Jesus Christ, this servant. But if we're representing him, well, these are for me too. I have put my spirit upon him, he shall bring forth judgment to the Gentiles. Isaiah 42:2. He shall not cry nor lift up nor cause his voice to be heard in the street. A bruised reed shall he not break, and the smoking flax shall he not quench. He shall bring forth judgment unto truth. Oh, how those early, the first church must have trembled when they considered, they knew these verses by heart, when they considered the truth of the person of Jesus Christ, who is the fulfillment of this prophecy. As Jesus even quoted them. He shall not fail nor be discouraged till he have set judgment in the earth, and the isles shall wait for his law. Thus saith God the Lord, he that created the heavens and stretcheth them out, he that spread forth the earth and that which cometh out of it, he that giveth breath to the people upon it, people upon it in spirit to them that walk therein. I, the Lord, have called thee in righteousness, and will hold thine hand, and will keep thee, and give thee for a covenant of the people, for a light of the Gentiles, to open the blind eyes, to bring out the prisoners from the prison, and them that sit in darkness out of the prison house. I am the Lord, that is my name, and my glory will I not give to another, neither my praise to graven images. That new covenant soldier, that new covenant shepherd of the flock can walk in victory. There is no more formidable foe in the world, in the armed forces world, than the one that doesn't care if he dies. He's okay if he dies. His eye is on the victory. the calling to preach. Titus said, Paul, the letter to Titus, says that Titus chapter 1 talks about the bishop that must be blameless as a steward of God. We could talk a lot about these different qualities: not self-willed, not soon angry, not given to wine nor striker, not given to filthy lucre, but a lover of hospitality, a lover of good men, sober, just, holy, temperate, holding fast the faithful word as he hath been taught, that he may be able to, by sound doctrine, both to exhort and convince the gainsayers. I was struck by that verse in the Amplified Bible that says he must hold fast to the sure and trustworthy word of God as he was taught it, so that he may be able both to give stimulating instruction and encouragement in sound, wholesome doctrine, and to refute and convict those who contradict and oppose it, showing their wayward error. For there are many unruly and vain talkers and deceivers, especially they of the circumcision, whose mouths must be stopped. There's a call to preaching sound doctrine. And Isaiah 42 talks about how beautiful are the feet on the mountains. I'm quoting a lot from Isaiah because I'm reading through Isaiah right now. How beautiful are the feet upon the mountains. Isaiah 52:7. Are the feet upon the mountains that bring good tidings, that publisheth peace, that bringeth good tidings of good, that publisheth salvation, that saith unto Zion that God reigneth. The calling to preach the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ is a glory to God. The angels are in awe, I believe. The kingdom, it's a dry, thirsty land. And to preach the gospel. We buried a little granddaughter this week, a little premature baby. And I heard a lot of people say, she'll never have to live in this sin-cursed world. She'll never suffer pain, disappointments, tears, and sorrow. And that's all true. That's all true. But what about us? Do we sit here and are just enduring life? Just enduring until the end? Or do we have a glimpse of the delight that God has in the man of God that's preaching the gospel? It's a great privilege that baby will never have. Even the thoughts, even pure thoughts, are a glory to the God of heaven before a great audience. I don't know what this audience looks like, but it's principalities and powers and spiritual wickedness in high places. When we walk and fear God and trust Him and seek righteousness and wearing that helmet of salvation. The Bible calls salvation a helmet. It's a helmet. There's a lot of soldiers. There's a lot of men who have a grandpa's World War II helmet. And it's got bullet scrapes in it. It has saved his life. Salvation, the salvation of Jesus Christ, is a helmet. And we can go into battle. And we don't have to be defeated and dread life and dread next week and dread God. And if we get a glimpse that we are God's delight, I believe that would be that'll go a long way with us. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. Every time you preach, you're laying down your life. Every time you step out in faith in the service of the Lord, when you chart a course and you're alone, you're laying down your life, God is with you. And the call to feed the flock, to feed them. He will feed his flock like a shepherd. Isaiah 40, verse 11. He shall feed his flock like a shepherd. He shall gather the lambs with his arm and carry them in his bosom and shall gently lead those that are with young. And then the next verse says, there's a question. Who hath measured the waters in the hollow of his hand? You know, the Pacific Ocean and the Atlantic and the Arctic and the Indian. Who has measured the waters in the hollow of his hand and meted out heaven with a span and comprehended the dust of the earth in a measure and weighed the mountains in scales and the hills in balance? That verse is right after the one that says that he shall feed his flock like a shepherd. He knows how many dust particles there are. I wrote, you will never carry the lambs if you're great and powerful. Jesus said, come and learn of me. I'm meek and lowly in heart. Jesus said, I know them, and they know me. I believe the call, I believe a test of that is, are they at ease? Are they at ease around you? I have too often seen people turn and go the other direction when they see me. And I wonder. Makes me wonder. But for the most part, in our congregation, I believe that we're at ease with each other. It's something that we should, I believe it's a barometer. It's a barometer of where we're at, what it is that tells the tale. Psalm 100 says that I was struck with this. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands, serve the Lord with gladness, come before his presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, he is God, it is he that hath made us, and not we ourselves, we are his people and the sheep of his pasture. The sheep of his pasture love to come before him with singing. They're comfortable around him. It says, enter his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. We have that. We have that great privilege with God our Father through our Lord Jesus Christ to come before him with singing and to come into his throne room of grace to find help in time of need. Know them. Lead them. Lead them. Psalm 78, 52. Says there, it just says that how he made his own people go forth like sheep and guided them in the wilderness like a flock, and he led them on safely so that they feared not. But the sea overwhelmed their enemies. He led them. He leads them. He leads them. And in the body of Christ, in the church of Jesus Christ, somebody needs to make a decision. There's these high-minded ideas out there that if we would be a a spiritual church, we would just all agree, and that just isn't reality. It's a good thing when 80 or 90% of the people agree, but there's usually a percentage of somebody that needs to submit. It's called doing something you don't agree with. And it's a call of the shepherd, the elder, the pastor, the bishop. In regard, in respect to the calling, not out of personal agenda, but to discern the mind and heart of the body and make a decision and lead them. Lead them. And it's a beautiful thing to lead a herd of sheep through a gate versus trying to drive them through. That's a terrible job. There's a story I read about in World War II, there's some soldiers came up on a hillside and they stole a man's sheep. And they were taking him away, and they did it at night. And he woke up and figured out what was going on, and he went outside and he just called his sheep and they ran away from their captors and they came back to him. They couldn't do anything about it. They know my voice, Jesus said. And he leads them. There's another man was watching a shepherd and how effectively he led his sheep. And he wondered what it was. He thought maybe it's his clothing. So he asked the shepherd to give him his clothing. And he tried. He tried to lead them, and they weren't fooled by that. And they know my voice. The voice of Jesus Christ. Brother Stephen Fisher had a group of sheep, had a herd of sheep. Do you ever think that both the singular and the plural word for the word sheep is sheep? Is that the right way to say it? Sheep is both singular and plural. They're truly a herd animal. But Stephen had some sheep and someone told him that they got out. And someone told him, your sheep are out. And he went down the road to this man that had his sheep in his yard. And he called them and they didn't come. And he said, those aren't my sheep. A high calling. As we consider the ministry of Jesus Christ. For us to enter in to a Psalms 23 ministry, Brother Barry. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. Under the guidance of the Good Shepherd, a man has everything that he needs. He's secure. He feels loved. He feels wanted and needed. He feels at peace. It's a high calling. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures and leadeth me beside the still waters. Waters that are still are peaceful. They're peaceful. A herd of sheep lying beside still waters is a beautiful sight. And a church at rest is a beautiful sight. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest the table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. In the presence of mine enemies, thou preparest the table in the presence of mine enemies. What a What a beautiful picture there. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Lord, help you to walk after that shepherd. Lord, help us. God bless you.